Stampede Blue. What we talking about? Indianapolis, AFC South. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Topics, loaded like offense. Colt-centric, talk about it often. Stampede Blue, let's air it out.
Welcome back to another Stampede Blue Colts cast, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Matt Dangley. Thank you guys for coming back. We've got some good news. We are off the one-a-week now podcasts. We're always going to be at least probably three times a week. We're back to the old ways now. Getting too close to the season with training camp just right around the corner, not to have a couple a week at least, or three. So we're going to be doing that from now on, from here on out. We're going to, like I said last time on the show, we're going to have a good presence down at training camp. Hope to get some good audio from the players and stuff down there, as well as some of the coaches, if at all possible. So should be some good things coming up. We're anxious to learn about this team as much as you guys are to hear about what's coming up. So obviously, as always, the Colts cast is sponsored by Mike Ernest at the Indy Home Pros team. Make sure if you guys are looking to buy or sell your house in the Indianapolis area, make sure you guys are getting a hold of Mike Ernest. You can catch him at him and his Indy Home Pros team at Mike Ernest at 317-285-9691 or CircleCityForSale.com. Kind of fumbled my way through that, but getting to read apparently is an issue tonight. So I'll just talk. No more reading. We're getting into what we need to learn about each of these position groups. And tonight, kind of I feel like a position or a group of guys that I've kind of, left out of the mix a little bit here, kind of ignored them, I feel like, a little bit, because we talked so much about them kind of as free agency was kicking off and all that. But we haven't gotten back to them lately, and it's been the defensive tackles. We've talked a lot about corners, safeties, a lot about secondary, a lot about the offense and such, but we've kind of left these guys hanging a little bit. But this is a fun group to talk about. We wanted to start this off. We're going to be doing this with the defensive ends tomorrow. We're going to be doing each position by position. We're going to do them over the next about week or so. So we should get these out to you. These are going to be a little shorter, right down to business, maybe 30 minutes, depending on how long-winded I am. You guys know that about me at least by now. But we're going to go into these guys position by position and talk about some of the guys that the Colts have on this roster. And, you know, maybe we can determine a little bit better some of the camp battles we've got going around. So first of all, let's hit these D-tackle group and get to talking to some of them, because this is going to be a really fun group to watch as well during camp. These guys have some experienced bodies. They've got some guys on here that have played really well as of late, but not so much earlier in their career. Some guys that I think are going to surprise us a little bit, and some guys who aren't going to be flashy, but they're just going to be kind of space eaters still within this system, similar to what Al Woods is probably expected to be as a starter in the rundown situation up front. So, excuse me, let's kick these off with a couple names that you guys may not know much about. Raheem Nunez-Roches, guy who's been in Kansas City a good part of his, in fact, in his entire career in his first 3 years. He's coming in, and they kind of had him set as a defensive end, I think, but that was more of a 3-4 defensive end when he was in Kansas City. So, and he plays a lot inside as well. So he's going to be one of those guys that's in there battling for a position on the depth chart with Al Woods and some of those other guys. He is a guy who last year had, I would say, his most all-around productive season. Not much to speak of, but this guy's not, like I said, he's one of these guys that is not going to have a ton of tackles on the season. Played in all 16 games, but he's not playing a lot of downs. He's going, and especially in this new defense, he's going to be a run-down player, and that's it. Not only does he have a limited group or a limited type of snaps in packages that he's going to be able to be in on, he's got to be that much better in camp than anybody else who's doing that. There's a couple guys he's going to be battling with, like I said. So this is going to be a big camp for him. He is going to have to prove that he is every bit as good as Al Woods or some of the other guys, even, you know, Stewart and so on. Ridgeway, I mean, all these guys that we're going to talk about tonight, this guy's got maybe the most work cut out for him as far as I'm concerned. I think that there's a good chance that he is a guy who's on that bubble for roster spot. I mean, there's just no way that this guy is going to be either one way or the other. He's not going to be completely gone. He's certainly not going to be at the top right away, but he's got a lot to work for. Let's move on from him and go to the rookie out of Brigham Young, Tomasi Lolile. We don't know a bunch about this guy, but just on like his size and weight, he's 300 pounds, 6'3". That is a guy who is going to be probably watched closer than just about anybody, aside from watching specific battles. This guy, we don't even know what he can do. We watched a little bit of his tape from Brigham Young. There's not much really to speak of. I mean, the guy is, he's good out of his stance. He's a good space eater. He can also rush the passer a little bit. He's got some good explosive scores. I think that he's going to be fun to watch. We have no idea about this kid whatsoever, how he's going to match up in a pro setting or anything like that. There's not a lot of talk about him, so he will be one that I'm definitely keeping a very close eye on as training camp gets near. I'm excited to see what he has to offer, if he can legitimately battle for a roster spot or not. I think that's to be seen. I think that he, at the jump, I think he's probably a practice squad guy, and so if he can prove to be you know, more than that, I guess, in training camp, because that's our thing, right? We see a couple guys doing pretty decent, and we start blowing them up a little bit too much, and they ended up hitting the practice squad as opposed to making the 53-man roster. So we'll see what that brings. But he's one of those guys I'm really anxious to watch. Our next guy, Margus Hunt, he's a guy who far and away exceeded what he had done in his career previous. He spent his first 5 years in Cincinnati, or 4 years in Cincinnati, excuse me. Last year came in, switched up roles from what he had typically been doing as a defensive end in Cincinnati scheme, comes in and does it inside, creates a lot of pressure, a lot of length. I mean, he's got block kicks and stuff every year. Only a sack, but 29 total tackles last year. Like I said, I think that that's more than his entire career combined in the previous 4 years. So he definitely was a guy who was productive in Indianapolis last year. The thing with him is does he come in? Because we're switching back to a scheme that he came out of that he had no success in. So that's some, I mean, similar, at least up front. So that's something that he's going to have to battle through. He's really going to, I mean, he's possibly a special teams guy, right? Because he's always blocking kicks. He's getting his hands in the passing lanes. I mean, at times he's got a lot of, in fact, last year, I would probably argue that a good portion of the games he played better than Henry Anderson. Now, did Anderson have those, you know, I don't think that Hunt had the snaps that Anderson had. So in small bursts and small situations, we saw a lot of Margus Hunt. We saw a lot of what he could do on the field and how he could get into people's kitchen a little bit. And, you know, we didn't see a whole lot of that, I guess, from Anderson, but he was in battling on more downs, I'm sure of that. Very productive. Like I said, 29 total tackles, a sack. He had countless hurries, couple passes knocked down at the line of scrimmage. This is a big camp for him. But he's coming off a year last year in which he gave the best performance that he's had, and Chris Ballard got to see it. It's not Chris Ballard coming in this year hearing about Margus Hunt playing a pretty good season last year. He watched it. He watched it up close and personal, paid attention. That's why he's still here, if you ask me. He's definitely a guy who's earned the ability to come in here and fight his butt off for the job. So I think that not only is the coaching staff, I'm sure, fairly excited to see what he can do and if he can bounce back into another season like last year, but I think most of us watching are excited about that, because he wasn't a guy that any of us really expected to do much last year. And like I said, he not only exceeded anything he's done in the past, he also exceeded anything that we'd seen recently. So I think that that's pretty exciting as well. Another guy, let's talk about Al Woods, another guy who has far exceeded last year anything he had done in his previous several years in the league. He's played at Pitt, Tennessee, Seattle, was drafted in Tampa, I believe, or at least came in Tampa as a rookie. 44 total tackles last year, had a sack, was a very good space eater, is working right now on being more explosive and actually being a threat to rush the passer up the middle. So I think that's interesting. He's one that I'm anxious to watch for that. He is not a guy we expect to be getting a ton of pressure up the middle. He is not a guy that we expect to be collapsing the pocket from the interior and making runs at quarterbacks. He's got to change his game a little bit. The Colts staff, obviously, with letting go of Jonathan Hankins, felt that Woods might be better supplanted as that nose tackle guy. If you remember last year, Hankins was supposed to come in, for all intents and purposes, be that nose tackle. They ended up kicking him out to three tech. Al Woods ran the nose. That's what he's going to be doing on early downs this year. And he's going to do nothing but increase his probability of solidifying that starting role and making the roster that much easier to guide behind him as far as backups if he can do both. If he finds a way to both rush the passer and do what he did last year in a 4-3 scheme, it's going to be no. He's going to be shaded a little bit. He's going to be more of a one tech, but it's going to be interesting to see how he in his game changes. I'm anxious to see if he can, you know, also mimic what he did last year. I think that there's a lot behind that. So I think that Al Woods is going to be fun to watch. A lot of these guys are going to be fun to watch, and you'll probably hear me say that several times as we go through the positions. But these, you see the talent level, and for what it is, you know that Woods had a good year last year. You know what he can do. You know his potential, and then you see kind of how this defense is changing, and you want to see these guys do something else or additional to what they were proving to do last year. So I think that that's fun. Obviously, Woods falls into that category as well. Another guy that I wanted to talk about is new to the Colts and was really productive last year, 36 tackles, 3 sacks, but has been productive in his past, been right around that 30-tackle mark for his past couple seasons. He's gotten at least 2.5 sacks in the 2 seasons previous to last year, 5 last year, like I said. A guy who's not starting a lot of games, but a guy who I think is going to be really important for this Colts team. He's not a big, like, nose tackle defensive end or defensive tackle, in my opinion. He kind of sets up to be a little bit more of a pass rusher right around that 270-pound mark, 6'5", really quick, and I wouldn't say super powerful hands, but really quick, explosive, and he's technical. I like to see him. You watched a lot of if you look at the Danico Autry post on Stampede Blue, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. We go through his player profile and you see a bunch of offensive line guys doing tweets of him and capturing some of the footage there. Really good stuff. You'll see exactly what I mean too. Very quick with his hands. He's able to move. I think explosiveness is going to be where he has to kind of earn his paycheck, so to speak, this year. He's good at the line of scrimmage, but what can he do past the line of scrimmage and into the backfield? How much pressure can he legitimately cause and create, or is he going to be a guy who's just used in that position on running downs? I mean, he's got a lot to work for as well, but Danico Autry is somebody, in my opinion, who's coming in with good experience, has had good success over the past few years, has proven what he can do. I think he's going to be one of the, you know, sneaky kind of one of the Colts' most impressive additions this year. I think kind of under the radar a little bit. I don't think people are expecting that. I definitely think that he's going to change some people's minds and possibly impress some people. So, excuse me. Danico Autry, definitely one that I want to keep my eye on. I think you guys will need to as well. Guys, we're going to get back to the rest of this position group. We're going to go through and talk to you guys about our sponsor, Mike Earnest. Make sure you guys are getting out and checking out Mike Earnest if you guys have any buying or selling needs of your home in the Indianapolis area. He has joined the RE/MAX Advanced Realty team, and they're now the number one selling real estate team in Indiana. So if you're thinking about buying or selling your home, you need to call Mike Earnest and his Indy Home Pros team. Mike and his team of real estate professionals are experts in the greater Indianapolis real estate market, and they have helped people just like you achieve their real estate goals. Whether it's using the latest marketing and social media tools to sell your home or using the combined experience of his entire team to find the right home for you, you can rest assured knowing that no one knows the ins and outs of buying and selling homes in Indianapolis better than Mike Earnest. Make sure you guys are getting a hold of Mike Earnest and his Indy Home Pros team. You can catch him at 317-285-9691 or CircleCityForSale.com. I know I said no more reading, but going to get my man in there because he's doing things. And like I said, you guys are looking to relocate. You know who to call. All right, let's get to the rest of this defensive tackle group. Kind of interesting as we move through here. We've gone through a couple of the new guys, a couple guys that, you know, may have – you know, stepped up their game a little bit in the past. Now we're going to get to some guys that we don't really know about, and then another couple that we're just really not sure about. And then we're going to get to the rookies here. So, excuse me. First, we're going to get to Caron Reed, a guy that not many of us know about. I mean, as far as anybody knows here, he's probably just an early guy, right? Couple years in the league, hasn't really done much, gotten much experience. Kind of the contrary. Brought into Detroit, played really well in his second and third year there. Started at least 12 games in his first 2 seasons. He hasn't started or done much since. He went to San Diego in his third year, came back to Detroit, but in a 2-year span there with his last year in Detroit, I guess his second year in Detroit, and his first year and only year in San Diego, I mean, he put up quite a bit of solid numbers, put up three sacks, did a nice little job, especially in his second year, right around that 30 tackle mark. And that's, like I said, that's something that Caron Reed is going to be expected to do, but he's kind of the tweener as well. He's not that 265 to 270, 75 range where he's going to be some sort of an interior pass rusher, in my opinion, but he's not so thick and so big as some of the space eaters like Al Woods. Those guys are right around 330 pounds. He's sitting right at 305. He's definitely a tweener, along with another guy on the roster, so we'll talk about him in just a minute. But I really think that Caron Reed is a guy here who he's got a direct competition with one guy that we're getting to next. He's got some other competition from some of these rookies. And more than likely, he's going to be competing with Margus Hunt as well and even the rookie Lalile. So I think that Reed's got a long road ahead of him in camp. He's definitely a guy who's going to have to impress. I just think he's going to have a real tough time. I do. But I would love to see him excel because he's definitely got the juice. He's proven that. He's got it. If he can stay healthy and everything can go right. But that is one of the main issues is his health, if I'm not mistaken. So the guy that he's going to be competing a lot with is Hassan Ridgeway. Ridgeway is a guy who kind of sits in the middle of all of this. Again, a tweener, 305, 4.5 sacks through his career. Not real productive tackle-wise last season, only like 14 or 15 tackles all year. But kind of that tweener in between space eater and defensive tackle and trying to rush the passer. I think that Ridgeway's got his money cut out, or, you know, his work cut out for him this year. He's got his money. He's doing fine with his money, I'm sure. But he's really going to be kind of on that bubble, in my opinion, this year. You could say he played technically better last year, but he just wasn't as productive as his rookie season, and I don't know where he comes in now. This is like, look, if Margus Hunt plays better, Margus is probably going to make the roster over Hassan Ridgeway. Should the two be connected necessarily? No, but you've got a really deep group, in my opinion, just in defensive tackles. We're not even looking at defensive ends here. We're talking about two positions for the most part, and maybe three, depending on the package. So, I mean, you've got Hassan Ridgeway. He's going to be going against Reed. He's kind of going to be going against Al Woods, Margus Stewart, Lalile, who hits around that 300 mark, and Rakeem Nunez-Roches. So some of the guys we've already talked about tonight, he's going to be fighting for a roster spot there, and he's not a Ballard guy. He's a Grigson guy. So he's got that, I mean, kind of against him as well. I mean, if he can't afford an injury in camp, he can't afford to look like he's not the best at that position in camp at least a few days, because if he doesn't, I think that he's definitely on the bubble. A lot of these guys actually are on the bubble because this group is going to be so competitive. It's not necessarily because they're not as good as the others, to the nth degree, I suppose you could say. But ultimately, the best talent is going to get on the field. We already know that about, you know, Chris Ballard and everything else. So it's going to be interesting. I think that Ridgeway is a guy who can and has gotten into the backfield a couple times in his past. He just isn't a guy who's going to be doing it very often, in my opinion. And I don't know that he's that good of a run defender that he's going to be able to pull double duty. So I guess he kind of worries me in that regard. So we're going to get to our last guy before the rookies and talk about Grover Stewart again. He's going to be a guy who's going to be switching in and out that the Colts expect to see riding that nose tackle one tech right there up front. And it's going to be interesting to see if maybe Grover can get a starting role in that somehow with Al Woods. That would be, I mean, that's what the Colts want. That's what they draft, or, you know, they brought him in last year and wanted to see his explosion. They really wanted to see everything that he offers to just what he could do. He had 23 tackles last year. No sacks, not a lot of pressure in the backfield. He wasn't a guy who got a ton of time either. So he did start rotating in a little bit more as the season progressed. But, you know, like I said, big space eater, but he's also got that explosion they like to where they think that now, what's his technique going to be? How good is his technique right now? That could be a big story for him as far as snaps. I think he's going to make the roster. I don't think that Grover Stewart's in jeopardy of not making the roster. I think he's that talented. But he's still still pretty raw, in my opinion. He's got a lot of work to do. I think that this defensive line group is going to be fun to watch him grow and see what he can do. This will be a big year for Grover Stewart. But at the same time, I hope he doesn't come into training camp, you know, thinking that he's got the roster spot either, because this is going to be a different and a difficult task for him, I think, this year. He's going to have to really try to stand out. We're going to get to the rookies here and talk about them. A couple of really interesting guys in Tyquan Lewis, and I guess that you can kind of look at if you wanted Kamiko Touré here, but I don't think we're going to. I think we're going to leave Touré for the defensive end alone discussion. But Tyquan Lewis is one of those guys that is going to be a movable piece. He is going to make the roster. He is going to make an impact, in my opinion. Watching his tape, there's an old recording here on the Colts Cast on our YouTube page, if you look back far enough, that shows some of the stuff that he can do. When they kick him down inside, he is definitely blowing guys off the ball. And I don't mean power-wise. He is blowing through gaps in a heartbeat. Some of those interior linemen are very slow to get off their mark. And I would assume that is, you know, the difference between college and pros. So that will be interesting to see how that explosion matches up with some of the interior linemen basically trying to protect their quarterback. So I think that Tyquan Lewis is a guy who's got to have several roles. I think he's going to be a guy that they expect to rush the passer, both interior and from the edge. I also think that he's a guy, I don't know about his run defense. I don't know if they'll try to put him in on rundowns or something like that as well. I don't know that his run defense is going to be up to par to be in those situations. I think he's almost exclusively going to be used to rush the passer. I just don't think that he's going to be just sitting in one spot. I think he's going to be moved around quite a bit. And his explosion, he does have aggressive hands. So, I mean, and explosive hands and powerful hands. So I want his technique to be better as well. Like I said, I don't think he's going to take a lot of teaching though. He progressed pretty quick. If you watch some of his tape from his earlier years, even he progressed pretty well in that regard. So I think he's going to take well to coaching and really going to be an impact this year. Him and Danico Autry, I think, are two guys that are really going to make probably the largest impact out of this group. I really am excited to see both of them, both him and Autry, because I think Autry's going to be a dual-purpose guy. I don't think Tyquan Lewis is, but I think Lewis is going to really add legitimacy to the Colts' pass rush defense. I really do. I think he's going to be one of those guys that we end up seeing get a lot more snaps as the season goes on. And if he can hold up against the run, and if he can, you know, get effective pass pressure on the passer, then we're going to see a guy who ends up getting a lot of snaps and a guy who starts progressing throughout the season quite a bit. So I'm excited for that. Big group here, in my opinion, from this defensive tackle group. I think that any of them could possibly make their case for making the roster. Nunes Roaches, like I said, 307, kind of a tweener guy. Lulile, the rookie out of Brigham Young, same thing, right there in that range, as well as Marcus Hunt. But Marcus Hunt is a guy who has showed his explosiveness. Grover Stewart has a lot to prove. Al Woods, obviously, is a guy who needs to come in and is going to be interesting because he's trying to add to his repertoire, I think that. And I don't think he's necessarily being expected to. So let's hope that he doesn't take away from any of his ability to stop the run in that process. But Caron Reed, a guy we want to keep our eyes on, who's had some success, had some injuries, had some time out, and coming in here trying to get a somewhat of a renewal to his career, I think. Hassan Ridgeway, another guy, a lot of stuff to go through. And then Tyquan Lewis and Danico Autry. So we've got a fun group of defensive tackles, folks, that I think that a lot of us are going to really enjoy watching throughout training camp. I'm excited to watch them. I hope you guys are too. We'll be talking about this group a lot in the coming weeks. Like I said, once training camp kicks off here the 25th, it's going to be on from there. So I hope you guys are excited to be a part of it. I know I am. Make sure you guys are getting Stampede Blue, getting all your news and analysis on the Indianapolis Colts there, and get to iTunes or Apple Podcasts. I always forget that, and give us a rating and review. Much appreciated. What you guys want to see on there, go there and give us a rating or a review and tell us what you want to see more of here on the show. If you like the guests, I know that you guys like it when we have guests. I enjoy having guests as well. It's just not something that's possible every single show. So I'd like to get your guys' feedback in that regard. If you have something for the show, go on and give us a review and tell me there. So thank you guys all for joining us, and we'll talk to you next time right here on the Colts Cast. Stampede Blue.